It's Tuesday, December the 21st, and welcome to our live broadcast called This and That. And I'm your host, Pastor David Ripley. This is where I get to offer my opinions on the news headlines of the day. This and That airs Tuesdays at 7 p.m. and is rebroadcast Thursdays at 7 p.m. Before we get into today's stories, let me state that the opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of Grace Christian Fellowship or Grace Christian Radio. Let me begin with the weather for tomorrow, December the 22nd. Now, I have my producer here again tonight.
I'm here.
Adam, I believe today is the shortest day of the year.
Correct. It's only uphill from here.
It's only uphill from here. So,
well, for sunlight.
For sunlight, yes. So tomorrow, periods of snow. I hate to tell you that, but periods of snow with a high of -1. I'm hearing that there's going to be a lot of snow between now and New Year's Day. So we're going to have a white Christmas. I don't know if that matters to anyone out there, but we are going to have a white Christmas. How do you feel about that?
Love it. I'm excited. I like the snow. I'd rather have the snow fluffy stuff than the slush.
Yeah.
But you're also talking to the guy who spent all day up in the mountains today. So
okay. And now, do you do any skiing? Or do you do any?
No, just some snowshoeing.
Snowshoeing. Yeah. Okay. Well, snowshoeing is good. I heard there was a family out snowshoeing today, and this is perfect weather for it. It's not too cold.
No, it's great weather.
It's pretty good weather. Well, moving to today's stories, and you've probably already heard that there are new restrictions that have come to the province of British Columbia. They are closing bars and gyms. They're banning indoor weddings and similar events as Omicron takes over. How do you feel about that, Adam?
Yeah, I mean, we saw earlier in the week Ontario's bans, which were even crazier, and I don't know if you're talking about them tonight, but yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know. I don't know what's going to change. It's crazy. It's going to be a quiet, stay-at-home Christmas.
Seems to be that way. They're encouraging everyone to actually stay at home.
That's correct.
And not travel anywhere. So we'll see what takes place. Yeah, speaking of New Brunswick, you're right. They reversed that order.
They did.
Giving grocery stores the option of asking for a COVID-19 passport, and they got rid of that. So that's a good thing. Some people complained, and I guess they listened. So I guess
about time.
Yeah, we're thankful for that. Well, going to the province of Quebec, they recorded today 5,043 new COVID-19 cases, and that breaks a record for infections in a single day. Hospitalizations have gone up. They're really cracking down in Quebec. But listen, of the new cases, 1,219 people are unvaccinated or partially vaccinated with one dose received less than 14 days ago, 238 people who had one dose more than 2 weeks ago, and get this, 3,586 are people who received two doses of the vaccine more than 7 days ago.
Makes me wonder, does it work?
I don't know. But the majority, from what we can see here, the majority of new cases in the province of Quebec are vaccinated people. Now, of course, we understand that there's a large portion of the province that are vaccinated. But still, I always thought that the purpose of a vaccine was to keep you from getting whatever the vaccine's purpose was. And in this case, it's to keep you from getting COVID-19. And yet again, 3,586 are people who've received two doses. Of the new hospitalizations, 32 are unvaccinated or partially vaccinated people who received one dose less than 2 weeks ago. None are people who had one dose more than 2 weeks ago. And 27 people are those who received two doses more than 1 week ago. So a lot of people are saying, you know, and we've heard the experts say that getting the vaccinations, being double dosed, double vaxxed, will keep you from ending up in the hospital. But in this case, it looks like even though you've been vaccinated, you're ending up in the hospital. 32 unvaccinated ending up in the hospital, 27 double vaxxed ending up in the hospital. What do you think about that?
I ask again, does it work?
Again, yeah, it's
crazy. Like, I just don't see, it's honestly, when it comes to getting the vaccination, the passport, it's almost just creating barriers for people at this point.
True.
Barriers for jobs, barriers for going places, barriers to spend money. You know, it's just, we're not seeing it actually help people. People are still ending up in the hospitals, so.
I wonder where they get their facts from when they make the statement that, you know, you're 2 times or 5 times more likely to end up in the hospital if you're unvaccinated as opposed to vaccinated. You know, we need to do a deep dive on that at some point in time and find out where they get these stats from.
I think the most time when you look at stats, you collect stats over a long period of time. Like, you'd be like, oh, you know, based on statistics, the Buffalo Sabres, you know, have a this percent chance to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Which is zero by chance. But, you get those statistics over long periods of time. We've had 2 years, and I don't know if that's enough to pull these type of statistics. Like, I think they're very raw.
True. They say it's still too soon to tell if Omicron is less severe than other COVID-19 variants. So they're not sure. They're not sure about this new variant, how severe it is, whether it'll cause mass hospitalizations. They're just not sure. But listen, the NHL has announced a league-wide shutdown from Wednesday to Christmas Day. And so many of the teams are experiencing outbreaks of COVID-19 among the players and staff, coaches, and so on and so forth. And now I've heard that the NHL is probably, I think, 99.9% chance that they will not be going to the Olympics. That's a big blow to the Winter Olympics coming up in just, a month and a little bit. Yeah. Coming up in February, this is a big announcement, folks. The NHL is not going to the Olympics. I'm actually happy about that because I have a lot of problems with the Olympics taking place in communist China. You know, so many things are happening. So many religious groups are being persecuted in China. You know, you just wonder why these kinds of events are happening in this kind of a controlled environment we refer to as China.
Not sure.
Going to the White House, the White House is telling unvaccinated Americans that they're going to inundate U.S. hospitals and die. Did you hear that, Adam?
No.
For the unvaccinated, you're looking at a winter. This is from the White House. For the unvaccinated, you're looking at a winter of severe illness and death for yourselves, your families, and the hospitals you may soon overwhelm. I'm quoting now. That's exactly what they said. Isn't that kind of nice to say something like that? You know, you kind of wonder the spirit behind it. Let me just repeat that again. For the unvaccinated, you're looking at a winter of severe illness and death for yourselves and your families and the hospitals you may soon overwhelm.
I type in White House, and the first search I find is White House Winter of Death.
Winter of Death.
2022.
Winter of Death. Wow, I can't believe it. Winter of Death. You know, I don't know if that approach really encourages people to get vaccinated. What do you think?
No, I think it's more scare tactics, right? I think we look at everything that's happening. And with Bonnie Henry's statement she released when you talked about the new things, it addressed, like, how are they going to enforce these new regulations for unvaccinated, vaccinated people during, you know, during the winter here until January 31st, I think, the new mandate states. And her response was, well, it's to help those people who are in situations that are around unvaccinated so they have something to stand with. So it's like you're creating a rule so that way you can look at your friends and family and be like, well, the government says you can't do this, so you must not.
But you know what doesn't make any sense to me when it comes to that kind of a mandate is a vaccinated person can pass on the virus just like an unvaccinated person can. So, you know, why would I keep my unvaccinated friends from coming over to my house if I'm vaccinated, thinking that somehow that's protecting me? Meanwhile, I can invite my vaccinated friends and fill my house with vaccinated people, and yet they too can pass on the virus. To me, it just doesn't make any sense, Adam. Makes
no
absolutely no sense to me at all.
None.
And a lot of this, of what we're seeing, makes no sense.
No.
When you think about it. So we need, as believers, to do a lot of praying during this time.
Yes.
We really need to be seeking the face of God and asking Him for wisdom so as we approach these things that we've talked about tonight, we'll know exactly what we're supposed to do in the midst of it all. How many know that God can give us His wisdom? The Bible says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and He will give liberally to those who ask, as long as they ask in faith, believing. Praise God that we
praise
can.
Praise God.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we're happy to have the host of another Moment in Creation with us tonight. And we want to welcome Diana Wedge. Yeah, there's a little bit of applause there, Diana. You know, we're having you on the show tonight. We want you to be able to talk a little bit about your program and all that it entails. But to start, so people get a chance to know who you are, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I grew up in Alabama, and I'd say a shout out to my nephew Trey. He's listening right now. I just wanted to learn more about the world. I truly wasn't looking at it whatsoever from God's perspective. I was looking at it through the secular school system's perspective. And at the time, I was fine with it. I didn't know there was another alternative. And it wasn't until I got older that I started finding this inconsistencies and lots of questions, the lack of the ability to truly think critical, and always pretty much getting knocked around for it, basically in course, in classes, because if you ask a question when they basically are presuming, there's an assumption that what they're saying is true, you don't get a chance to ask questions about how do they know that's true, you're not allowed to do that. Well, that raises questions. So for me, I did my own research, and I still couldn't quite understand how they figured it out, and I just thought, I guess that's how it is. And I have a cousin named David, who actually showed me some creation material. I'd never heard of this before. It was mind-blowing. And at first, I thought it was some hooey. That's it. I'd just being honest. And I started looking things up. And, of course, all the mainstream media tries to tell you, don't believe those things. It's they don't know what they're talking about. So I thought, fine, I'm going to look at research by PhDs from secular universities. If they didn't go to a secular university, I wasn't going to look at their material. And I started finding that those people once believed in long-age evolution type theory, and through the course of their research started to question things. Not all of them were Christians, but they started to realize there's something going on that's not quite right with the theory. So I actually really just started questioning that as well. So for years I did research, and I actually asked God at one time, and I wasn't a strong Christian, but I was a Christian. And I said, if this is true, show me. I did. So like you talked about wisdom, asking for it. So I had little faith, but I asked for it. And I would try to disprove or prove what I was finding. So if a researcher said, here's some information, but we're missing this piece of the puzzle. Go look over in that branch of science. I'd go to that branch of science. So I kept doing this rabbit trail of science research. Mm-hmm. And I realized maybe there's something to this. Maybe there is something to this. And if I can believe the very, very first words in the Bible, maybe I can believe the rest of it, that it's not just what I was told, a book written by man, because that's what the secular world tells you. If I can trust that in the beginning God created, then I can believe when Jesus referred to God's creation that everything he referred to was true, because a lot of people separate those two things. Somehow they get their heads around this evolution idea thinking, and they forget that God said everything was very good. Evolution-based is death upon death upon death to get to good, which is the exact opposite. So they contradict one another. And so anyway, my mind went on a journey for, I don't know, I was maybe 15 years of researching. But the whole time I prayed and I asked God to show me. And then once I started to grasp this concept, I realized it goes against mainstream views. And the scientists who see things differently are not looked upon favorably upon mm-hmm. with their peers. So I thought, you know what? I am not one to go with the flow. if the science is going one direction, that's the direction I'm going. And it actually strengthened my walk with Christ. So I have friends who are solid, solid Christians. This is not an issue for them. Like, for them, they don't care about evolution creation. It's not a basis for their faith. But for people like me, this walk led me closer to God.
Amen.
It really did. And so if I can reach one or two people out there that this is the same issue for them, then it's worth it. And I think God gave me this passion for a reason, and I'm grateful I get the opportunity to use it.
That's awesome.
So I have to ask you, how did you end up in Canada? I mean, Alabama, and now you're in Canada. How did you go from Alabama to Canada?
Long story, but I'll make it really quick. University, several different locations. I just was really focused on education. That was me, books. And I ended up in Pennsylvania and eventually met my late husband. We were married for a little while there, and he died of cancer. And after that, I ended up meeting a gentleman who also, he had been a widower because of cancer. We met, and he happened to be Canadian. And so we like to joke a little bit that I'm his internet wife, because we met on an internet support site for grieving people.
Nice.
Yeah, so it was basically live here or live there. And I came to Canada and saw how beautiful it was. And I literally just fell in love with the country. Yeah. And it was an easy decision. It was, I'm coming here. And nice. I love America. Don't get me wrong, all my family out there. But this is where my husband is, and obviously I want to be with him. So
that's awesome.
Amen. Could you tell the audience what drew you to the idea of talking about some of God's magnificent creations?
Wow, thank you. I am blown away at his handiwork. Every time I see something, there's such intricacies that the details, how everything had to be perfectly designed, be it a plant, an insect, one of the episodes we talk about snow or fire and those kinds of things, how everything works so well together. There are benefits and there are dangers sometimes, but it all works together. And in the case of living creatures and the natural sciences, I am really astounded how some people can see incredible design in an insect, and yet they think a human, who in a lot of ways is far more complex, just happened to fall into place one day. I just think, how can that happen? When you can take a team of researchers that in something called biomimicry. So they'll see an insect or a creature and they'll like a certain aspect of it, and they'll study it and create designs and engineering teams. You've got teams of researchers. You've got teams of engineers. Millions of dollars go into research to create something based on this supposedly random chance creation. I'm thinking, guys, open your eyes. How can't you see that there's something bigger at play here? This is not random. So anyway, that was what really inspired me. And it lights a fire under me as I do research. I just start Actually, my research comes from a variety of sources. So there's some solid Christian creation-based scientist ministries that I pull resources from, but I also go to secular. So when I was talking about stars or the moon, I go to NASA a lot of times.
Right.
I go to science tech magazines and things, and I'll pull resources from that, and then I pull things together. And I would like to just say this really quickly. I've learned this through the years. It's all about worldview. So if I view that God is the creator of everything and that he gave us, the Bible's not a science book, but it's a historical book, and it is important what's written in there. It should be factored into science models. So I'm just going to jump here. When I did stars, I talk about the stars singing. Well, Job heard the stars singing. You know, how could that be written by man? That was God inspiration. It's only in our physical lifetime that that is proven. And so in that episode, I actually play some sounds from NASA of the stars singing. And that is just mind-blowing.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So the Bible's full of interesting things.
So, speaking about your program, how has it impacted your personal relationship with God?
Thank you for asking that. It has deepened my walk. I live in an incredibly beautiful valley here in the Creston Valley. I'm inspired when I go down, say, to the Wildlife Center. I've done three episodes, bull rushes, and I did the three T's, turtles, tortoises, and terrapins. And I also did frogs. And those were inspired by the nature right outside my door. And I always pray, and I ask God to really press upon me what it is he wants me to talk about. And so I just look, and it's right there. And I'm actually, and it's just deepened my relationship with him. I'm so grateful for this platform to be able to present these episodes. I'm excited when I do them. And I always pray that God will have someone hear it, that it just ticks a box for them, opens something in their brain. Yep. And I seed it with a lot of science talk, like how to view things. So, for example, in stars, one of the things I wanted to see was, have we ever seen a new star being formed? So I found a magazine article, and it said clearly that they were witnessing a star being formed. So I thought, oh, this is awesome. I want to see it.
Right.
And I'm like open. I'm like, whether it is or isn't, whatever. And so I look, and as I dig deeper in the article, they did not observe this. They saw some other things that they think in 500,000 years minimum might be a star. That's not actually witnessing it, but the title said they witnessed it. So you have to learn to read these things. We can't just go by the titles and think we know something, because it can be completely opposite.
Absolutely, yeah.
So how has that impacted your, say, your prayer life? How has it impacted your that closeness with God? Do you think that, you know, studying these things and learning about them and seeing the wonders of all that God has created, you know, as you go to pray and you go to seek the Lord, has it impacted you in some way?
Yes. At one time when I'd read scripture, and it would, I don't remember the references, but it would talk about basically praying unceasingly or something like that. And I thought, wow, that's pretty incredible. How, I'm just being real honest here. It's like, how is that possible? How can you just go on and on praising God? Well, God showed me, because now you can ask my husband, when we have our prayer time together, I always ask him to lead, because if I do, I'm there for a while, because I literally will start thanking God that we look at this.
A to Z.
Yeah, exactly. And I just, it just is so rich. It's definitely richer.
Amen. Are there some specific things that you learn that really stand out, you know, in your study of, and I've been listening to your program, you know, you've talked about so many different things. Is there some things that just stand out when you think about the programs that you've done that really stand out?
I've done 22 episodes at this point, and I'm in the middle of writing my script. I've done my research for Cinnamon. And then
Cinnamon.
I'm going, and then I'm going to have Tears will be the one after that. So one of the things I kind of had fun with was when I did Cotton. Because even in Cotton, I refer to driving down the roads and seeing these tufts of white, because it's a real memory for me. And
In Alabama,
yes,
right?
In Alabama, yeah. And it's something that I totally took for granted. But in doing the research, I was fascinated at how much cotton impacts our lives. And that was pretty fascinating. I had a lot of fun with fire. They're all a challenge when I start. I literally start and I think, what am I going to talk about? and then I pray and ask God, like, what do you want me to focus on? So in fire, I learned about creatures that actually pursue fire or the immediate aftermath when everything's still sizzling and how they thrive in that environment, which is pretty mind-blowing.
That's wonderful.
That's awesome.
So tell me, maybe you can just share a little bit about when your program comes on, how often.
Thank you. At 1 o'clock, Monday through Saturday is the schedule that I have, and I've been trying to keep them around 15 minutes. They try to push the 20-minute mark, and I just learned from our producer here at the radio station that the 20-minute is fine,
from what
I understand. So I might just let it go. I have to do a lot of editing.
You can go up to a half an hour if you wanted to.
Thanks. Well, I have to do like a significant amount of editing sometimes because I'm trying to keep it tight. So it's 1 o'clock Monday through Saturday. Sunday, I think you've been playing at two different times at 8:30, I think.
Yeah, we play it in the morning. So we play it before Sunday service in the morning. So it plays at 8 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, and then it plays again in the afternoon.
Okay. Yeah. So that's really encouraging. And I'm just so excited that I'm able to gift that.
Don't also forget, there's also the what we're calling the AOD, Audio On Demand.
Thank you.
Oh, yes. Let's talk about that. Yeah. Let's talk about Audio On Demand since you brought it up.
Perfect. Yeah. So Diana herself has been working really hard on the website. So now you can go to our website. If you go to the Radio Ministry tab, in there you'll see all our different shows. You'll see Moments in Creation or Another Moment in Creation. You'll see Treasures at Tea Time. And also you'll see This and That. And all our past broadcasts are there starting of a couple weeks ago. And all of Diana's Moments of Creations, episode 1 to 22 is there, so you can listen anytime.
Yes.
And also our Sunday services are there under sermons. So if you happen to miss our live show at 9:30 and you don't catch one of the replays later on the day, you can go to our website and you can watch all our audio, listen to all our audio demands whenever it suits your needs and when you have time.
That's wonderful. We're excited about that. Is there anything else you want to add before we close this segment off? Anything that you were kind of thinking about, you'd like to just share with those that are listening tonight that you would think is pertinent in relationship to your show, your program?
Well, there's a term I heard recently, and I'm taking it because I like it, the theory tales, you know, instead of, So sometimes, for example, I want you to know that I try to be very fair in the science that I present, and even if it's going to lean towards where I'm going, which is the God perspective, I will still share the secular perspective. And I do often in various programs will point out again about worldviews affecting how we interpret data. That was something I wanted to mention, is our worldview determines how we look at the data, the facts that we're looking at, and that's going to determine how we interpret it. So you can have people on different sides of the fence seeing the same data, but we're going to have different results in the end. And I do try to present that, so that's fair. But because our world is saturated with so much of the predominant views, I try to at least let people know there is another way to look at things.
Beautiful. Well, it's good to have you on the program tonight. You know, as we conclude, I want to read a portion of Scripture from Psalm 19. You probably know this, Diana, very well. It's just one verse, but there's so much in this verse. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, Amen. And the firmament shows His handiwork. And, you know, every time I've read those verses, read this particular one, it really impacts my life because, you know, when you walk out of your home, especially living in Creston, and you see the nature that God has created, you know, someone said to me when I first moved to Creston, they said, man created the city, but God created the country. And, you know, there's a lot of truth to that. Living in a city, so many things are man-made. But when you get out into nature, you see how many things that God has created.
Yep.
You know, the animals, the trees.
Everything.
Just living in this beautiful valley really depicts to me the glory and the wonders of God. And down to the very detail, and you mentioned this in many of your programs, the smallest detail that God's concerned about, and you can see his handiwork in those small things. We have so much as believers to thank God for, even tonight.
Yep.
And I give God all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. So thank you tonight for coming on. We'll definitely have you back.
Yeah, no, I love it. I spent a lot of time out in the mountains and just seeing God's work out there. Like, you just look vast mountaintops and mountaintops. Or, like, for instance, when I'm on top of the mountains in the wintertime for work, seeing, like, different animals, like insects in the middle of winter.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. In the snow, surviving. I'm just like, nah.
Not a mosquito, though, right?
No. I'm telling you, it's you know, you find these little tiny spiders on the snow, and you're just like, how? But that's God's work. He built them to live.
Amen. Well, as I come to the conclusion of the program tonight, I want to take this opportunity on behalf of my wife, Gina, Jessica, my niece, who lives with us in Grace Christian Fellowship, to say Merry Christmas to everyone. You know, this is just a few days away from Christmas. It'll be rebroadcast on Thursday night, and that'll just be just a couple of days from Christmas. So again, Merry Christmas to everyone listening to the program tonight, those that are in Creston in this beautiful valley and beyond. Don't forget, we do have a Christmas Eve service. It starts at 7 p.m. So if you're able to come, we give you a great and wonderful and warm invite.
Yeah, and it'll also be live for those that can't make it for whatever reason, or if you're at home with family. You're not able to make it. It will be live, so you can tune in to on our radio station, 89.1 FM, or on through our apps or on our website. So we're going to be doing it both.
Beautiful. Well, this is Pastor David Ripley, believe it or not, signing off. Have a blessed evening.